Prabhupada.
My dear mother, I have explained to you the process of devotional service and its identity in four different social divisions. I have explained to you as well how eternal time is chasing the living entities, although it is imperceptible to them. Purport. The process of Bhakti Yoga, devotional service, is the main river flowing down towards the sea of the Absolute Truth, and all other processes mentioned are just like tributaries. Lord Kapila is summarizing the importance of the process of devotional service. Bhakti Yoga, as described before, is divided into four divisions. Three in the material modes of nature and one is transcendence, which is untinged by the modes of material nature. Devotional service mixed with the modes of material nature is a means for material existence, whereas devotional service without desires for fruitive results and without attempts for empirical philosophical research is pure transcendental devotional service. So here we can actually see Lord Kapila's instructions, and he actually, you know, very clearly states that there is a difference between, you know, devotional service, which actually is, you know, motivated by material desires, and which is transcendental. It's divided. Previously, he, you know, explained to his mother that what are the four social divisions. It's the Varnashrama, and how the time is chasing the living entities. It's actually in our life here, it's very short. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that we get born and everybody is attending us very much, pampering, and we feel that everything is so great, that we are the center of the universe. Then later on, as we grow, then we see, everything is great. Our young bodies, we can enjoy, everything is very nice, and we have still plenty of time. Nobody is thinking about any transcendental activities. Then, when we grow up again, then we become too busy, because we have to maintain our families, so we work sometimes day and night, and we have no time for Krishna. And then when we are old, then we are too tired to think of Krishna. And like that, the life is over, and we take another birth as who knows what, who knows where, and who knows when. So only the process of Bhakti Yoga can give us the assurance that we will not come back in this material world again. And it's only the process of Bhakti Yoga which is purely transcendental and is totally untouched by the material nature. So sometimes some devotees wonder, kind of like, or not just devotees, even karmis, or the karmis, smartas. They do activities and they worship different demigods just to get certain results. They worship Lakshmi to get money. They worship Ganesh to remove obstacles from the material point of view. And they do so many other activities and very elaborately they perform long ceremonies. But actually, these are pointless. What even if anybody has some material desire, then still it is the best if we approach the Lord Krishna. And then through him, he can fulfill whatever we want. Then through that process, we get purified and eventually we become interested in chanting the holy name, and through the process we can get out of this material world. We have nice examples. Say Dhruva Maharaj, he out of anger at his stepmother. Who was that? She was auntie, right? No, who was she? Yeah, the another wife. So she was him to who? Stepmother or? Stepmother, you can say. Yeah? Second mother, yeah? Okay. Sorry. Yeah, so then he was angry at her. And then he was, because he was Kshatriya, so very determined that now he will get revenge. And then to Kshatriya, he was a small prince, so then the best he could think of was to get a kingdom. And the kingdom greater than anybody before. So then with the determination, he goes to the forest, and then when Narada saw him, then he understood, well, with this determination, you can achieve better things than anything else. So he gave him mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. Then, with that, his heart got purified. And then, when actually he got the opportunity that, okay, now the kingdom will come, then he understood he doesn't want it anymore. So, the holy name actually tricked him. And through that, because he understood, okay, that's what, Krishna wants, then I will take it. I'll do whatever he wants me to do, but not for myself, but for the Lord. So that's the proper example. That's how we should deal. We can accept anything, anytime, and use it for the Lord. We see Prabhupada. When he was on the planet, he had 108 temples. He was probably the richest man in the world at that time. But he was so humble. He nothing accepted for himself. It was all for Krishna. He used everything. So like that, we have to see how to actually use things in Krishna's service. And through that, we may get purified. When we get purified from the anarthas, then we may chant the holy name, and through the chanting of the holy name, we get the taste for the chanting, and then eventually we develop love for Krishna. If we chant the holy name with offenses, without attention to what we chant, then the chanting will be there. It will give us all kind of material benefits. It may take us even up to liberation. But the love for the Lord will never develop. That's why we have to avoid offenses. We have to seek association of the devotees. And we have to be very attentive for chanting. Chanting of the holy name, according to Haridas Thakur, it's the best of the 9 processes of devotional service. So we should take it really seriously and try our best to chant without offenses in the association of the devotees. Through that process, the anarthas will flee from the heart and the love for the Lord will appear in the heart. So, I don't know, I think we don't have so much time, but if you have some questions, maybe to any topic, anything if you want to ask, then we can discuss. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, it's there was a, I don't know if he's still there. I know in Mayapur there was one devotee in Gaudiya Math, and he very openly said that he joined Gaudiya Math. He is chanting Hare Krishna just because he wants to go to heavenly planet. Because he said the women here in the material world are like frogs. And over there, he can enjoy. So this is very clear materialistic desire. He has in his mind exactly what he wants. But, no, he chants the holy name. So, if he does chant the holy name without offenses, there is a good chance that he will forget what he actually started for. Well, it's not cheating, it's a tricking. And then, you know, he will just not throw the desire away. So, that's what it is. Probably many of us, I can speak for myself, that, you know, there were desires when, or there were some expectations when we join. Is there, either we are afraid and we want to get better situation, or, you know, there is something. But through the chanting, then the desires, they go away. It's because before we start chanting, or in the beginning, we don't taste actually the real nectar. We don't taste what actually the chanting is. We have only imagination. It's like the frog in the well. How big is the ocean of the nectar? It's twice this than my well. We don't know. So therefore, no, some expectations, and then okay, so then maybe I will feel more happy. No, maybe if I join Hare Krishna, then I will get a little more money or whatever it may be, better position, this, that. But then, if we are sincere and we follow the Sarana Bhakti as Prabhupada gave us, then the purification takes place, and the nectar comes, and we forget all that because of the higher taste. So that's why the process works. And there is no any other better process than this. And that can happen just in few moments. depends on the sincerity, depends on how surrendered we become. No, I was telling the story, but about no, it was Ramanujacharya with his disciples. They were on the bank eating prasad, and then some of the crumbles from the prasad fall down into the water from Ramanujacharya's mouth. It was a fish, and the fish took some of the crumbles, and then as soon as it took, then changed into like a forehand form, and then went into Vaikuntha. And the disciples were astonished, kind of like, how is it possible? We are taking prasad from every day for years, and nothing happens to us. And the fish just takes few crumbles, and then immediately changes into the, and then goes to Vaikuntha. So what is that? And then he explained, well, when you take prasad, then you have desires. Your intention is not pure. So therefore, you are getting slowly purified, but it takes time. The fish took the prasad and had no desires. It was purely, without any desire. So therefore, the prasad could have the full potency in the fish. The desires are those which are keeping us in the world. Like Prabhupada said, even one rasgula can keep us in the material world. That even one rasagula, can keep us in this material world. Yeah, it's like, depends if we like the taste of the rasgula, or if we like the rasgula because it's prasad. That's a difference. If we don't mind taking rasgula because it's sweet, and no matter if it's prasad or not, then it's not the prasad which gives us pleasure, but it's the taste. And that keeps us here. But if we prefer, or we take the rasgula only when it's prasad, and we will not take it when it's not, even though we know it's sweet, then that will take us away, takes us out. Yes. Yeah. That's the position. It's the mind which actually makes us wanting. Because the mind actually with the desire, with the seed of the desire, starts to contemplate and then want us to pursue the desire. Then we start to think more and then we act. But if there is no desire, and if we know, okay, this is not prasad, and I'm not going to eat anything which is not prasad, then just it may come, but it has no relation to us. And the desire doesn't develop. So that's... And these are the anarthas, actually, in the heart. So if the heart is pure, there are no desires. So no matter what comes in front of our eyes, then still we have, like you said, indifferent. It's not the real thing. But then if it's transcendental, then no matter what it is, but we really enjoy it. We like it. The best, if we can develop, the best desire is to please Guru, please Krishna, please Vaishnavas. So that's our real position. We should feel ourselves as a servant, and whatever we can do that pleases Krishna, pleases Vaishnavas, then we should do. But if we try to do something which we know it's not going to please them, then we should not do it. So that's the real thing. If it's pleasing to the Vaishnavas, if it's pleasing to the Krishna, then whatever we do, it's right. But if it's not, then it's not. Whatever we do, we should do for Krishna. And Krishna is most happy if his devotees are pleased. So, we do, and it can be anything. And that's actually, by Shastra, this is piety. That's pious. And anything which is done, no, not for Krishna, then it's impious. And it may look like somebody may get charity, somebody may build hospitals, may build, so many big buildings, donate this, donate that. But if it's not connected with Krishna, then it's useless. Why he does it? Because he wants to be recognized. So, oh, this person built this hospital. That's why, he give so many lakhs or millions of dollars. We desire for some association. Well, you see, it's natural that because we have our nature, so we will be attracted to some devotees who have very similar nature. We may be attracted more, and to some less. But we have to be very careful. Then, see, we can discriminate, and we can see with some devotees we can be very intimate, we can be very close, and very deeply we can discuss many topics. With some, we may not be as deep. But it's natural because this is our nature. But then we should always be respectful to any Vaishnava. We should never criticize, never be disrespectful. So it's always giving respect to all the Vaishnavas. No matter what. And then with some we can be more deep. No? Deep relationship. And with some may not be that much. But it's still going to be, we are always going to be respectful. That's a very important point. But why he wants to show him?
He wants to show him because it is not good for him at others.
Okay, now if the person
who... Yeah, but the question is not...
Okay. Yes, so that's not showing that he was wrong. It's actually showing that the person who is saying that is better than the person who did it. He wants to show that I am better than you because you did the wrong thing. See, why somebody correct somebody? In which case... No, why would say teacher correct student? Yes, so the teacher, he's responsible for the student. Teacher has certain power, and then he has responsibility, he has influence over the student. So then when he corrects, he does it, and it's for the good of the student. So it's in his power that he can do it. And it's his duty. He has to do that. If the teacher sees the student something do wrong and he lets it go, this is not a good teacher. So there is a relationship. There is a relationship between the teacher and the student. So then the student accepts what the teacher says and he corrects himself. But if there is no relationship, and say one person has no influence over other person, then what is the point trying to correct somebody knowing that you cannot do anything? That's just to show that we are better than the other person and just showing his bad qualities. But what does Rupa Goswami say? He says that Vaishnavas should see only good qualities on everybody else. No, that's the best. When we see good qualities, then actually we will develop good qualities. Sometimes it's more difficult, but by practice, we can do that. And when we see bad qualities in others, we are developing bad qualities. We see what we have. No. Like, also I was saying, like, thief finds a thief in the crowd. No, so that's the whole point. We have to, no, actually try, we have to, with determination, we have to really look for good qualities in everybody else. And when we do that, we find that actually the same qualities we will be getting. Okay, so then you should find the authority who has influence over that person and tell that authority about that. Or if you have the influence, if he is your dependent, then yes, you should correct him. That's your duty. But if you have no influence and you have no relationship with the person, just to say that he did something wrong, it's a criticism. And criticism, what does, no, Haridas Thakur says about criticism, criticizing devotees. First offense. One who criticizes Vaishnava falls down. No matter how elevated he may have been at the time, he falls down. And who is Vaishnava? One who chants the holy name even once, he is a Vaishnava. And by chanting the holy name even once, all the sinful activities are destroyed. So he may look like a sinner for some time, because the desires are still in the heart, and they will get removed. But to call such a devotee, you know, and point out the bad qualities, then we will fall down. Directly, but if we want, then we should say it with concern. We should actually show the person we like him to improve. Not that kind of like, oh, look at you, you know, you are such a nonsense. No. No, rather, very humbly. Prabhu, you see, no, I'm sorry, but I see that something which you did was not really correct. So, no. Maybe you could improve on that. Or maybe, if you want, I can explain to you how to do it. You know, just kind of like a very positive way. So then, now he doesn't feel, you know, like immediately that you are attacking him. Because what happens? When you start attack somebody, then he strikes back and you, and becomes fight. So therefore, it's always better just be humbly approach, and then no, everything can work out very peacefully, very nicely. But that must be the intention when we approach somebody like that, must be that we want actually him to improve. Not that we want to show everybody how bad he is and how good we are. That cannot be the intention. He doesn't want to, because the false ego is so huge. And also, if somebody is proud, we have no influence over that person, because he is his own. So therefore, even if we come humbly, then he will not listen and he will immediately start to fight back. So now, then how will we act if somebody fights back to us? Then will we say, okay, sorry, Prabhu, I'm sorry for saying it, no? I will not say anything more. Or, oh, what you are saying? I said what I saw, and then start fight back, you know, and then that's Then the fight starts and both of them get onto emotional platform and there will be nothing to do with devotional service. And just both of them will just be... It will be very bad situation. So if we really want to know somebody correct, then it should be in the mood of that, yes, we want him to get better. And if we see that we don't have the influence, we cannot do it. He doesn't accept. Then we should accept defeat. We should say, okay, I tried. I'm not trying anything more. Not that kind of like a, just to show that, no, yes, you were wrong. No, I was not. You were. No, and then that's not Vaishnava etiquette. That's not how Vaishnavas deal. So we have to be prepared for it. In case, no, if you want to correct somebody, then he may not take it. And we have to prepare what we do at the time. Okay, then you have to have management. Then you have to have a manager, and he says, okay, you do this, you do that, and then just it gets done. But actually, like a real Brahmanical nature is that devotees come forward and they ask, what should I do? Can I clean this room? Can I clean the toilet? Not that in case somebody asks, then we say, no, I cannot. So that's a different mentality. And that's what we should develop. Because why do we clean this room? We do it for Krishna. We do it for the Vaishnavas. So by that, we please Krishna. So if that's our intention, then this is a great service. This is a great opportunity. Shyamananda Pandit, he, by sweeping Sevakunj in Vrindavan, he got personal darshan of Radharani. Just by sweeping. So it's no amount of knowledge can give devotion. Devotion comes with sincerity, determination. This is devotional service. How serious, how sincere we are in our duties. That's what brings Krishna Prema. So we should try to develop that attitude that actually we like to do service. We should try to find a taste in doing service, not avoiding service. And then anything can be done. Yeah, that's the attitude of Vaishnava. They don't want to lose service. See, if our intention comes from actually whatever we do, we really want to please Krishna. Then by seeing Krishna pleased, seeing Guru pleased, Vaishnavas pleased, enjoyment comes. You cannot avoid it. Because when you see everybody happy, you become happy. You cannot say, oh, that's false. No, I'm not happy. You know, you and others are. No, I cannot enjoy. No, you cannot. So that's the real enjoyment. But there's nothing to do with material thing. And it's not false. It's real. So when we chant, when we do Harinam, just look at the people's faces. You see somebody is very, very happy, somebody is less, no, somebody is like, no, the demons, whatever. But when you see the people, like, they may hear the holy name for the first time and they are very happy. Then happiness comes in the heart because, you know, it's something amazing. It gives you more faith. It gives you more strength to continue with the devotional service. Because you see how everything works. So that's enjoyment which comes and you don't have to do anything else. And you cannot avoid it. When we chant and we try to avoid the offenses and chant in the association of devotees, then there is the pleasure which is there. It comes because you hear the devotees, you hear the holy name, so it's there. But you don't have to strive for anything else to gratify the senses or like that. That's not needed because this is the highest taste. So that kind of enjoyment it comes naturally and then it's unavoidable. And it's bona fide. And then detachment. Okay, now detachment, if we have to be detached from whatever is not connected to Krishna. Yes, it's good to be detached from, we don't need new house, for ourselves. We don't need new car, we don't need this. We can be detached from that. But if we have new house and we can open preaching center and start program and do, big, preaching in some city where nobody else is, then we should not be detached from that. That's a great idea and we should do it. So we will not get house for ourselves. We are detached from that. But if we can help others to improve in their devotional service, we can do a lot of preaching. And so for that, we should get the house. So we can open the preaching center. So if we say, we could do the preaching, but still, it's house and I don't want to get I don't want to get entangled, So no, forget it. That's false. It's false renunciation. Or you have that, Haridas Thakur, he calls them Markata Vairagi. The monkey renunciate. They may wear dress like sannyasi. Yes, everything is renounced in the world. I have nothing to do with any material nature. But who knows what they are doing at night, right? No. So like that, they like to be seen as renounced. No, but they do all the sensual pleasures, whatever anybody else, and worse. So that's the false renunciation. So again, the best thing is just to see. If it's connected with Krishna, then we should never renounce it. Like Arjuna, he didn't want to kill his kins, right? His forefather, whatever. He gave the argument. But when Krishna explained, then he understood. That was a false renunciation. He just falsely thought that he should not do it. And then he did, because that was his devotional service, his way, how he could perform devotional service. So he did it, and then, everything ended up as it should have, and then everybody was very happy. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Purananda.